Our scripture reading for this afternoon is in Numbers 24, and we will read from verse 15 through chapter 25, verse 5. Numbers 24, beginning at verse 15. Let's hear the word of God to us. And he, that's Balaam, took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him. But not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. When he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live and God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Thus far, the holy word of God. Dear congregation, Luther once said, and he spoke a very solemn truth, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. How often has it been true that we meant to do this thing or that good thing, but we just never got around to do it? So we must look back, perhaps, and grieve and agonize over promises made but not kept, vows made not kept, opportunities missed and now lost forever, cannot turn the clock back to do it over. Maybe you made New Year's resolutions, as you perhaps did last year and the year before and the year before. How did you do with them? Did you keep them? How will you do this year, particularly with regard to a precious soul, with regard to our eternal destiny? With God's help, we wish to learn again from Balaam's example, set before us as a very solemn warning. We wish to do that from the words of our text, the end of chapter 24, verse 25a. Just these words. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. Our theme is simply Balaam returning to his place. In the first place, we wish to see his good intentions. In the second place, his contrary practice. In the third place, his dreadful reward. Balaam returning to his place. His good intentions, his contrary practice, his dreadful reward. So in the first place then, his good intentions, his good resolve. We read, he rose up and went and returned unto his place. However, the truth is, he never arrived there. And yet, he did go to his place. He went, however, to a very different place than what he expected and what he desired. Perhaps you already know what it means that he went to his place. He met with a violent death and perished forever. He had good intentions to go home, but it came too late. He was already in a way of being accustomed to postponing that which was right to do. He should have returned much sooner. Better yet, he should have never left his home. And this was typical for Balaam. We've seen it in the past few times when we looked at his life. This was typical for Balaam from the very beginning to the very end. He was a man of good intentions. We've seen it several times. We saw it already when Balaam told these princes of Balak when they came the first time. In chapter 22, verse 8. When he said to them, I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. I will do what the Lord says. Sounds good. It's a good intention. It's a good thing to have in mind to do. I will do as the Lord speaks. But how often did we, you and I, promise to God and to people to do as God has said? Good intentions. Maybe even like Mary. Maybe I've said even to the Lord, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Convicted, convinced of the truth of the word of God. Maybe even vow to the Lord to change our course or way of life. Balaam knew his limits. When he was tempted with gold and silver, with the rewards of divination, fortune telling, he said in chapter 22, verse 34, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. So he had first said, I will not. And later on he says, I cannot do any different than what God says. Maybe you've said that too. But then, did you really follow up on it? Or did it just remain good intentions? And then, even thirdly, Balaam showed his good intentions by confessing his sins to the angel standing in the way. Chapter 22, verse 34, he says, I have sinned. How many times have you said that? To the Lord and perhaps to each other. I've sinned. Again, so promising, isn't it? But it was not from his heart. For he goes on and says, for I knew that thou stoodst in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, He questions that. If it displeased thee, I will get me back again. He knew already that it displeased God. The angel had just finished telling him. Because the angel said in verse 32, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. The angel said, I've come against you because your way is perverse. And then Balaam still has the audacity to say, if it displease thee. He knew it already. But then Balaam showed these good intentions in the fourth place to even acknowledging God's claim and power in his life. He knew he could, not only that he didn't want to and that he could not do anything else than God said, but he had no power to do it. In verse 38, he says, of the same chapter 22, he said, have I now any power at all to say anything? He says to Balak. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that shall I speak. So Balaam makes one beautiful confession after another, declaring his good intentions. He makes public confession of guilt. I've sinned. He makes public confession of faith. I cannot do anything else but what God says to me in his word. And so he intends to live well. He intends to live well. And he hopes that he will die well also. When he sees the privilege of the people of Israel and her blessings, that he has to bless them in spite of the fact that he is called to curse them, he says in chapter 23 verse 10, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Surely that's a good intention. That's a good desire, to die the death of the righteous. Surely we also desire that. Who would not desire the death of the righteous? To not have to go to hell, but to go to heaven. Who among us wouldn't want to be sure about this? About the forgiveness of sins and about eternal life instead of eternal condemnation. So Balaam expressed a good desire. He intended, he hoped for dying the death of the righteous, that his end, his last end, would be like that people of God. And so Balaam knew that God's word was true, that it was real, that it was reliable. It came with power in his life. He was a greatly privileged man. He knew that the word of God spoke of a way of forgiveness. That what the word of God was about, that was true, that would stand fast forever, as we have seen in 23:19, when he even had to say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make good? Israel is a blessed nation. Behold, he says in verse 20, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it. And then he says in verse 21, seeing that this people was a forgiven people, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. He has seen not only that people, but he has seen him who came forth out of that people. So he believes. Sixthly, this is the sixth thing that he has in mind as a a good view and a good desire and a good understanding that there is forgiveness with God, that God had no iniquity seen in Jacob and not perverseness in Israel. And so we too believe that there is forgiveness with God. We know the Bible is full of it, that there is indeed forgiveness with God. That's why He has given us His Word. That's why He did send His Son into the world to be a Savior of sinners, to save them from their sins through Jesus. We believe it, but have we obtained it? We know about it, but that we seek it diligently, not giving it rest until we have it. Balak was a privileged man, greatly privileged, because of the many revelations and the many times that he had convictions which turned in his mind him to have good intentions. Balak is upset with him, sends him away, but before Balaam leaves, he has to speak one more time. In chapter 24, verse 14, he says, "And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore," he says to Balak, "and I will advertise thee what this people, Israel, shall do to thy people, Moab, in the latter days." Notice what he says, "I go unto my people." It's almost the same words as the words of a text. "I will go to my place. I'll go back home to my people. But before I go, I will tell you what this people shall do to your people, Balak." And then he gives this beautiful vision of Christ, which we have spoken of last time. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh." And he spoke of that star and that scepter that shall come out of that nation of Israel. But he would stand afar off. Even these very words, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh," is a summary of the life of Balaam. Beautiful promises. Beautiful declarations. Wonderful experiences. Great intentions, but not now, not nigh. So each time when he had this conviction, he did not follow through with them immediately. And that's the downfall, I fear, of many that hear the word of God. When they are convicted, that they not immediately at that very moment take refuge to Christ. For when that conviction is gone, we are hardened yet more than we were before. Just like Balaam. And that brings us to a second point. Though he had wonderful intentions, his practice was continually contrary. He spoke well. He was filled with good intentions. But his life choices clearly testified of a contrary practice. It was full of compromise right from the very start, as we have seen. When he twisted the word of God, when he twisted his own convictions to suit himself, he spoke highly of the Lord. He named even the name of the Lord Jehovah. He spoke highly of the Lord and of his word and of his commitment to the word of God. He expressed the Lord even to be his God. "The Lord, my God," he said several times. And that he would serve him. He declared, as we just saw, that he wouldn't and couldn't go against the word of God. And yet he did. He obeyed other voices. He served other gods. The rewards of divination had more appeal to him than the treasures of Israel. He desired to be rich. Money, honor, ease. So he postponed what he knew he had to do. I shall see him, but not now. Dear friends, have you also, just like Balaam, let the opportune times slip by one after the other? Vows not kept. Good intentions kept for tomorrow. I will repent. Not now. I will believe the gospel. But not now. Tomorrow. I will search the scriptures. I will set time an hour every day, 2 hours every day, to search the scriptures. I will not let thee go, Lord, except thou bless me. But not now. Tomorrow. Next week. And so without realizing it, we hardened our hearts, like the people of Israel and like Balaam. Balaam knew the truth and the power of the word of God. At times he even enjoyed speaking it. If you read how he spoke about it, it showed that he was taken up with it. Perhaps you too. Maybe times you enjoyed reading the word or hearing the sermon preached. Your heart was engaged, but it did not follow through. Maybe you came home from church that you really enjoyed the word of God, that you really enjoyed the sermon, but it did not lead you to the foot of the cross in total and unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Balaam believed that the word of God was true as he prophesied it. He stood in awe when he saw what God had in mind for these people. He marveled. He marveled as he saw how blessed they were. He saw their privilege. And he desired to die with them. But he did not live with them. It did not come further than a wishful thinking. His intentions were good, but his practice was contrary. He continued to be led by Balak to different places. It didn't work in one spot, so he went along with Balak to another, and yet to another spot, hoping against hope that somehow he would still be able to curse the people, though he knew better. So he continued to go his own way, all the time knowing right from wrong. Isn't that a picture of you and me? We know what we must do, but how reluctant, how slow we are to do it. Just like Balaam, we know the word of God, and yet we go on, hoping that maybe the next time it will be the time. And so he would go on and really have his heart's desire, which is to please ourselves. What's yours? What's your desire? What's not only your intention, but also your practice? Coming to the Lord, confessing your sins, casting yourself upon mercy. Say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Here I am, do with me as thou wilt. And then search the scriptures. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the guidance of his Holy Spirit. Leaning on the promises as they come to you, as you read them. If I perish, I perish. But I cannot live anymore on my own. Is that your practice? You see, Balaam went on after all these times by God's permission. God would accomplish his own purpose through Balaam. God used him to bless Israel. So the Lord may have used us to bless others. perhaps very busy in one ministry or another of the church, having been useful to bring the gospel to others and perish ourselves. This is part of God's word, that Balaam was allowed to speak for our blessings and our benefit, and he perished. We should search our own soul and heart, every one of us here, that we would not be like Balaam, like scaffolding. Very useful indeed for a while, until the building is completed and then it's being done away with. It's not part of the building, yet it was useful in the building process. Am I part of the scaffolding or part of the building? So God had his good plan to reveal his word in Jesus Christ to us through Balaam. God could have a donkey even speak his word. So he spoke through Balaam. But Balaam was fully responsible for his own sins, and he went on and on and on, ignoring the warnings that came to him time and again from God himself, by the angel, by the donkey. His own conscience testifying against him, but he went on. The Apostle Peter uses Balaam as an example in 2 Peter 2, verse 15, of those who have gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. That was his downfall. The love for the gain of the world was greater than the love to be righteous. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. But in verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. He was warned. He was rebuked for his iniquity, very plainly. With a man's voice, the donkey spoke, told him to not go on in his way of madness. Persistent sin, dear congregation, particularly the sin of unbelief, disobedience to God, is not only iniquity, but it's madness too. It is foolishness. He went on against all convictions for worldly gain. He lost his soul. That brings us to our third point, his dreadful reward. Good intentions and a contrary practice make for a dreadful reward, a dreadful end, the reward of unrighteousness. Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And so it ends. So it seems. But we have to look at the next chapter. That's why we read also a few more verses in chapter 25. And there we read that the Moabites tempted the people of Israel to join them in a wicked feast, an idolatrous feast. Satan, failing to have these people cursed by Balaam, attempts to try to destroy Israel in a very subtle way, much the same way whereby the world today seems to destroy the church, luring the church into world conformity. And particularly in those days, joining a feast unto Baal Peor. Verse 3, the people ate and bowed down to the gods of the Moabites, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So Satan tries to do it in another way, in a subtle way, to draw them into sinful entertainment. And the Moabites are successful and Israel is drawn into idolatry and adultery. For those idolatrous feasts were wicked feasts, adulterous feasts. Gross sins were committed during such gatherings, and God was very angry with them. That was the reason why He gave them the land, and that the people of the land had to perish, because they lived in such gross sins. And the Lord had warned them not to join with them, but to kill them. Many were died. Many died. We read in verse 5, slay every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. In verse 9, we didn't read that, but you see, and those that died in the plague that came were 24,000. 24,000 people died. But maybe you ask, what does it have to do with Balaam? Everything. We read in Revelation 2 verse 14 where the Lord Jesus speaks to the church in Pergamos these words, and that will give the answer to what Balaam has to do with this great deceit. But I have a few things against thee. That was the church of Pergamos. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. It was upon Balaam's advice that Balak lured the people of God into this wicked activity. Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. He could not curse them, but he did advise Balak in this cunning, deceitful way to eat things sacrificed unto idols as the idolatry, and to commit fornication. There's the adultery. So Israel sinned grievously against the Lord their God. Obviously, he did not go home. He stayed to advise Balak to stumble into sin. Balaam was consumed with a desire for the things of this world. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And perhaps he was richly rewarded by Balak. But dear congregation, what a responsibility we have is how we live before one another, how we advise one another, our children, grandchildren, our friends. We desire to die the death of the righteous, but we have to live the life of the righteous. And there is no righteousness in us. And the only way to live the life of the righteous, yes, to live a righteous life, is through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Balaam lived a life of unrighteousness, and he perished. As will happen with everyone who will not repent and reform their lives, not only in a good intention, but in a practice of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will not repent and believe the gospel, God speaks woe unto them. Like it's in Jude 1:11, where Balaam is mentioned, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. See what company Balaam is mentioned with: Cain and Korah. Cain, who murdered his brother Abel, who could not tolerate the righteousness in his brother and murdered him. Korah, who challenged Moses for leadership. So Balaam is named in one breath with those, but he is named in one breath with all those that have good intentions but do not follow through on them. It's a solemn warning, the congregation this afternoon. Would you really wish to be in this company? Perhaps your heart and your mind recoils and say, no, I wish not to be in that company. And then we have to follow through our intentions. Then we have to follow through in what God's word tells us to do. Not only to hear it, but to do it. And that is to repent. That's to confess our sins. And to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And so be acceptable before God. These men, Cain, Balaam, and Korah, each were motivated by something else, something other than God. Woe to all them who do not begin to make God their prime desire every day. And so we read in Numbers 31, verse 8, that when the Israelites slew the Moabites, that Balaam was among them. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Why? Once again, in verse 16 of Numbers 31, we read this, behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Balaam held responsible for it. Oh, let's not be like Balaam. Let us hear the word of God and realize our privileges, which are far greater than Balaam's ever was. He had few revelations indeed. Indeed powerful, dramatic revelations, but he did not have the word of God as we have it. He saw him from afar, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the entire word of God. Let us hear the word of God and repent of our sins, particularly the sin of unbelief, particularly the sins of our promises not kept and the vows not obeyed. The congregation, Balaam rose up and went and returned unto his place. What will your place be? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? It's one of the two. Can it be both? You cannot have your commitments and your good intentions and your contrary practice and then still expect to go to heaven. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen.